Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you in the house of the worship once again, here in person and also joining us online. God has blessed us with another beautiful day. He has blessed us with rain. And even though it may make life challenging for some, don't we pray for rain? And the Lord answers in His time. Speaking of His time, what could the world use more of? An old question that doesn't get old, because the world keeps returning back to and remaining in its own traps. The Lord Jesus knows what the world needs more of, and so He provides what it is we need. What it is that He provides is our focus once again this morning. To God be the glory as we now turn our attention to the invocation on page 3 of our worship bulletin. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
We hear our choir. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty.
My soul yearns, even thanks for the courts of the Lord.
Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you.
Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere.
I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked.
O Lord Almighty, blessed are they who trust in you.
Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord.
Let us worship Him.
Please stand. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him.
This is love. God, that we love God, that He loved us, and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins.
If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us.
If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins.
invites us to come into his presence and worship him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask him to forgive us.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil, and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, hear the word of Christ through his called servant. All your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
The works of the Lord are great and glorious. His name is worthy of praise.
Pray. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, to prepare the way for your only Son. By his coming, give us strength in our conflicts and shed light on our path through the darkness of this world.
Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated.
For the second Sunday in Advent, a reading from Holy Scripture from the prophet Isaiah, the 11th chapter, pointing out what the world can use more of, and that is God's perfect justice. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
What the world could use more of, a hope rooted in Jesus. A reading from Holy Scripture, Romans 15. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and, moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing the praises of your name. Again, it says, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will rise to rule over the nations. In him, the Gentiles will hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Please stand for the gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Matthew, the third chapter, again emphasizing what the world could use more of, and that is true repentance. Our Lord says, in those days John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The ox is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." This is the word of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated as we turn to our hymn of the day. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours in great abundance, thankfully, from God our Father, and through our living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whose birth we look forward to celebrating once again, because we also know that with the coming of his birth, he will come again to deliver us from this veil of tears once and for all. We base our meditation this morning on the gospel reading for today, hearing once again this from Matthew 3, "Produce fruit in keeping with repentance." This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Your fellow redeemed by that rock and Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loves you so much, he gave of himself so that you and I and others would not have to endure an unquenchable fire for all eternity. Not a small thing, is it? Is your conscience your friend, or is it your foe? The answer may depend on what you're trying to do. If you are trying to live a legit life, then your conscience can be your friend. But if you are trying to live a life that is less than legit, well, then you will view your conscience to be a foe. Conscience, that voice within us, it is a gift. And with any gift, it is to be taken care of so that it can continue to be appreciated and stay in working order, that it can function as it's designed to do. Well, keeping our conscience sharp in working order, which also can include zinging us at times when we are on the verge of going down a bad road for us, well, that starts and it continues with God's Word. And that task then of keeping our conscience sharp and good working order, it's not a one-and-done occurrence, is it? It is something that needs to be done on an ongoing basis. And so again, that starts and continues around God's Word. Because who is the one who has given us our conscience? God. And who better than to keep it sharp and in working order so that it can be a friend to us and not a foe? Well, a word then to go along with conscience, and keeping the emphasis on keeping the conscience in good working order. Well, another word then would be the word before us repeatedly, and that is repentance. Repentance is definitely not a new thought, as we see and hear once again in this account talking about John the Baptist and his public ministry. He indeed preached a message of repentance. A simple message to a complicated world. Complicated because of the sin the world had and does commit. That simple message which John had to proclaim then is still the simple message that you and I need to proclaim today. And not just for that other person. You and I need to examine our own hearts and minds as well and fall under that simple message of repentance. The message then that John had for the people and has for us still today by God's grace and doing can be summed up in these words: produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Dear friends, let us not forget, first of all, what repentance is. It involves a change in direction. If you're going down the wrong road, or if you're going down a path that you know is not going to lead you to where you need to go, do you just continue to go down that road or that path and go, oh well? Or do you make a change in direction so that you can end up where you need to be? That's what repentance really is because by nature, right, we're headed down a path that we really don't want to go. And as sinful human beings, we may not even realize the fact that that's not a path we want to go. But God, in His grace, sends the Holy Spirit, who uses the law and says, you do not want to go down that path. There's another path. and then uses the gospel to show us what that path is, which is Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. But in order to appreciate what Jesus has done for us, we need to remember what repentance is. It's examining our heart and our mind and realizing that we have committed a sin against God, and not just one sin, but many sins. There's not a moment that goes by that we really don't sin in our thoughts and in our words and in our actions. And not just against God, but against one another. And when we sin against one another, we're ultimately sinning against God. Repentance, then, upon examination, realizes that, yes, Lord, we have sinned. And that's followed up by being contrite and sorry for that sin. It's not going, oh, well, God will get over it. He usually does. His mercies are new tomorrow. He'll get over it. You want to play fire with God? Who's going to lose? You will. And don't blame him on the last day when you say, God, you burned me. I tried to save you from it, but you were not willing. Remember Jesus overlooking Jerusalem? How I longed to gather you people together, yet you were not willing. I made it so easy for you, but you refused. Because when it came to the fall into sin, we lost our ability to choose God, but we have hung on to the ability to reject God. And so it truly is, by the grace of God, when people come to say, you and me included, Lord, you are my Savior. Thank you, Lord, then, for leading me to see my sin before you and others, and leading me to be contrite and sorry for my sins, and then also looking to you, Lord, for forgiveness. That's what repentance is. The short part of it. Examination, contrition, looking to Jesus for forgiveness. And then we can add on producing fruit in keeping with that contrite, sorrowful heart. That's what repentance is. It's not just being repentant when it's convenient. Oh, I got caught. No, as Luther said, we are to daily down our old Adam by contrition and repentance. It's something that needs to take place ongoing. And it is something that applies to each and every one of us. As the scripture clearly says, all of us have sinned, and all of us fall short of the glory, the expectations of God. There's no bragging rights among us. No one can say we are better before God or we do more for God than the other. Because bragging rights shows then that you are not producing fruit in keeping with repentance. Bragging shows that you need to repent. A contrite heart produces fruit in keeping with repentance. We like to quiet our conscience, though, by minimizing sin or not thinking that that's so bad. That little white lie, who's going to get hurt? But who does get hurt? God. Those you said the lie against, and even yourself, as God will hold you accountable. And so again, the reminder to produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And thankfully, through the Holy Spirit, He leads us to see our need for repentance. And He changes our heart. A heart that starts out in life against God, but by the grace of God, through the Word of God, moves us to have a heart that is now with God. And does seek to produce fruit in keeping with repentance. The love of Christ, we are told through the Apostle Paul, compels us to no longer live for ourselves, but rather for Him who died and rose again for us. And that really then gets to the heart of the Advent message. Jesus came for a purpose. John the Baptist was pointing people to that purpose. Later on, he would say, look, the Lamb of God who takes away your sin and the sin of the world. That's why we treasure the season of Advent, because we know what comes with it. Christ's righteousness, won for us through the cross. His blood shed in place of our blood. And His resurrection assuring us that we will now be able to live with God forever in His presence. And with that first coming, we know there will be a second coming. And so in the meantime, He says, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Let that fruit be evident. And to sum up what that fruit can look like, we are given the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5, right? Love, joy, patience, peace, kindness, goodness, forgiveness, gentleness, self-control. These are the fruits that are to be evident in keeping with repentance. How's your fruit life? Is your bowl of fruit overflowing with good fruit? Or is there some rotten fruit in there that needs to be removed? Well, not just yet. No, now. John had urgency in his message. He didn't say to those people, hey, you know, maybe a week from now, think about repenting and stop stealing from other people or doing drugs or whatever you're doing. No, now repent, for the time, the kingdom of God is near. With Jesus coming, He will come again. And He could come at any moment. And so again, through Advent, we are reminded of the fact to continually keep our hearts prepared and produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And later on, then, in that same chapter in Galatians 5, Paul reminds us then, let us not become conceited and envying one another. Let us do good to one another. Showing that we are producing fruit in keeping with repentance. And so that producing fruit in keeping with repentance also involves then keeping the focus where it needs to be, and that is on Jesus. His first coming and His second coming, as we said, both have purpose. His first coming to rescue us from our sins and get us right with God, something that we cannot do on our own, and something that we dare not minimize. And His second coming to deliver us from this veil of tears once and for all, if we are not delivered from it before that second coming. While there are many things to enjoy on this earth by the grace of God, do you want to live in this sinful world forever? Do you want to live with those aches and those pains forever? Do you want to live in a life where you're continually addicted, and though you try to fight it, the addiction just keeps winning over and over again? Praise God that He has a way to deliver us from such a life. And as with John the Baptist, so with us, God has put us in a position to proclaim that simple message, repent. And then produce fruit in keeping with that repentance. It's a simple message, but it gets complicated, right? Because we may have to say that message to a family member or to a friend who is living a life contrary to the Word of God, who is not consistently producing fruit in keeping with repentance. And that's really the key, is consistency. We're all going to fall. That's not an excuse. But that's why we're to be patient with one another and forgiving with one another, while at the same time not making excuses for one another, examining our own heart at the same time. And so we're looking for that consistency, because we will not be perfect. The perfection, rather, that we have is through Christ and Him alone. But with that perfection gift that He has given to us comes the call to be faithful. Faithful to His word, faithful with His message of leading others to repent and encouraging them to produce fruit in keeping with repentance and setting the example ourselves. John was doing that. His ministry definitely was different. He was not preaching in the same places that other pastors of the day were preaching. He was not eating the same foods, not to say, look at me what I'm eating, but to emphasize, it's not about the finer things in life. And how many preachers today are driving around in Mercedes and Rolls Royce and flying around in private jets and this and that? And people are going, that must be the church to go to because look how successful they are. In fact, there was even one pastor who said, my people want me to live in this fancy house. I almost switched churches. No, just kidding. Just seeing if you're still listening. It's not about that at all. But the world gets caught up in that, and Christians can too. And so we need to call people out to help their conscience be a friend to them and not a foe. God help us then and give us the strength as we examine our own hearts to then lead others to produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Because the world can use a conscience tune-up. And that includes legit repentance, evidenced by consistent words and actions. And that begins then with a heart that is right with God. And so with that, the world can use more of God's justice and the hope that He holds out to us. Dear friends, this is Advent. Jesus is coming. Stay sharp and keep producing fruit in keeping with repentance. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen. We join now in a confession of faith found on page 9 from the Nicene Creed.
We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day He rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. Amen. Please be seated. For our thank offering prayer this morning, we will sing the hymn, Lord of All Good.
Thank you.
And we pray. Almighty God, we praise and honor your holy name for your numerous acts of love and mercy on behalf of your people. We rejoice in the knowledge that he is our advocate before your throne, and that he intercedes for us in all our needs.
Send your Holy Spirit to enlighten our minds to the understanding and knowledge of your heavenly truths.
Give to all who serve your
Holy Church a full measure of your grace, that Christ may be confessed, his cross uplifted, and his gospel declared as the only way to eternal life. Bless all parents, that they may be wholesome examples to their children.
May they teach their children to love you, to practice virtue, to desire to pursue instruction in your word, and to serve your church and all people.
Hear the prayers of all who are afflicted. In the quiet hour of the night, when they are weighed down with pain, loneliness, and anxiety, bring them strength and hope by assuring them that your love endures, your power overcomes, and your presence remains constant. Birthdays are another reminder of how special our life is, as you, Lord, are the one who has given us this life. Move us to view one another as gifts from you. Continue to refresh in body and soul those celebrating a birthday this week. And Lord, we ask that you refresh the bodies and mind of Jackie Moeller, who has been in need of medical assistance this past week. Not only refresh her body as you will for her, above all, continue to refresh her mind and heart with the reminder that this health challenge does not change her status with you through Jesus. Hear us now, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. As we leave this hour of worship, we give all glory to Jesus.
To him be praise and honor and glory and power now and forever. Amen.
We also pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Turning now to the sacrament, lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night he is betrayed, took bread, and when he given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We pray. Hear the prayer of your people, O Lord. Let the lips which have praised you here may glorify you in the world, that the eyes which have seen the coming of your Son may long for his coming again, and that all who have received in his true body and blood the pledge of your forgiveness may be restored to live a new and holy life through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Praise the Lord for that. Just a few announcements. Bible study, the last one in the Augsburg Confession taking place here at beginning at 9:30. Sunday school will start in the chapel at 9:15. And then next Sunday, Lord willing, for the Bible study hour, we're having our all-member brunch, especially to welcome the new members from 2022's. If you're able to attend that, that'd be great. If you are planning to attend and you think about it, there's a sign-up sheet there in the lobby on the counter underneath the TV, or send Stacy or Linda an email. And if you forget to sign up and you want to come, just come. Don't worry about it. And so that's next Sunday. And then the 18th, we have a normal 8 o'clock service, no Bible study, and then at 10:45, the school children will be having their Christmas service, so keep that in mind. And then the 25th, it's Christmas Day, and we go to one service on Christmas Day, and that service is at 9:30. And that'll also be the same then for New Year's Day, one service at 9:30. 5:30. On both those Sundays, the 25th and the 1st, we'll be celebrating Holy Communion. If you need an invite or like an invite to share with friends for the live nativity coming up next Saturday from 5 to 7, and also then our Christmas Eve services, whether it be the worship service at 5 o'clock or the lessons and songs at 8 o'clock on Christmas Eve, there are little invites available on the Welcome Center, little blue cards you can hand out to people to invite them to those services. This coming Wednesday, we have our second midweek Wednesday service at 6:30. Supper at 5:30 in the Multipurpose Center. And again, thank you for all those who have been willing to volunteer for the live nativity next week. We look forward to it. May the Lord bless us with fine weather, and we'll make do whatever He blesses us with, keeping that in mind. Envelopes, thank offering envelopes for 2023. If you are in need of envelopes, and you should be able to find your envelope in the library. That door should be open to the library, and they should be in alphabetic order. Along with the envelope, help yourself to a packet of information. It's in a 5x7 envelope. It has the commitment information, volunteer information, and other things in there for you as well. If you know somebody who won't be making it to church themselves, but would like their envelopes, and you have an opportunity to drop them off, please do so. If you give automatically, and you've requested not to have envelopes, you won't have envelopes then. But everybody's been assigned a number, and again, we've been able to reduce the number of envelopes that we need, but the giving number still increases, thankfully. Again, for those who give automatically, you won't have a number. And as we decrease then the number of boxes of envelopes we need, your number may have changed. Last year we had to change the numbers because we went to less boxes. We tried to keep everybody's number the same, but if there were some adjustments with new members and so forth, maybe you may have a new number. So thank you for your patience with that. Any other questions, let me know, and see the weekly news for other things going on. Have a great day in the Lord. Thank you. Thank you.